best part about 100% Hockey is when news happens, I can't wait to get on the air with John Shannon and deliver another episode. So we had the big deal between Colorado and Carolina with some help from Chicago. Mikko Rantanen ends up with the Hurricanes. What was your initial assessment of the trade, and has it changed?
My initial assessment, because, you know, it's funny. I looked at Carolina and what they did in getting Mikko Rantanen, and I looked at Nate just going to Colorado. But I was looking at the Chicago piece, you know, because we now know the cost. They got a third-round pick for carrying $4.5 million of Rantanen's contract. So now we know the price for the trade deadline of a third-round pick. It's about $4.5 million. They also got, you know, they got rid of Taylor Hall's contract, which I think is an indicator of where Taylor's game has been for the Blackhawks this year as well. But in the end, and I think you and I have talked about this. I know I've talked about this with my friends in Carolina. For the longest time, as good a team as the Hurricanes were, they never had a closer. They never had a guy that, when they were down one goal with 6 minutes to play in a playoff game that they needed to win, would turn and say, "Boys, get on my back. We're going to score a goal and we're going to overtime."
They had nine guys that could
win the tug of war, but they couldn't carry the whole team. Well, Mikko Rantanen can carry a whole team. So they finally, because I was talking to friends, I thought for sure it was JT Miller there last week. I thought he was going to be that guy. So for it to be Rantanen, it's a great move for them in the short term. And knowing a little bit about how Tom Dundon works, I would assume that he says, "Let's get him here. Let's prove that we're a good organization." And you know what? Money, we'll figure out money when that time comes, if in fact we want to re-sign him. You know, because Tom in many ways is as pragmatic an owner as anybody in the league. And not to be in a negative sense, but he knows the value of players, and he's been in business outside of hockey, so he knows the disposability of players. You know, he's a businessman. So he wants to win the Stanley Cup this year, and he thinks they're that close.
Interesting that he went to Chicago. I thought the Blackhawks would have done much better in giving up a player and taking on salary. I assumed that there would be more than a third-round pick there. So,
when I read it, I was surprised. But that, to me, tells you what the price of that position in the draft is now. That's all. That's what happened. Remember the year that it was Patrick Marleau being traded to Carolina from Toronto? Carolina, they got a first round pick for him, and the Leafs lost $6 million on their cap. So the price of a first round pick that year was $6 million.
Maybe it's because better salary cap positioning. I don't know. Than Toronto might be that. Yeah. But
you have to be concerned. You know, you got to understand. Martin Hs has not had a great start to the season and has really flattened.
But he's still top 10 in scoring.
Yes, but he was at the top of the list for a while.
Yeah.
So, and you do have to wonder. You saw Nate MacKinnon's comments on Saturday when they finally got to him, and you know he wasn't really thrilled. You know, comparable to Sid when Gensel got traded to Carolina. So you do wonder what the effect on the Avalanche is, and will be, because they have to find a way to regenerate their greatness beyond Makar and beyond MacKinnon now. And that's going to be difficult for them.
Do you think there's less structure in the West, like with Colorado, than there would be under Rod Brind'Amour? I do. So I think Marty Nichess could be ready for a boom.
Yeah. By the way, I must tell you, I finally, because of this trade, I finally learned how to pronounce his name properly. So, because I was in the world that there was a player with the same spelling for years in the NHL, and he was Neskash, Stan Neskash.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
Same spelling. So I've finally learned, because we've had to talk about this trade so much, I have a couple of tricks now of how to remind myself how to pronounce the name. So
Nichess is a good dude. I talked to him last year, and
yeah.
He's just a
Oh no,
he's a fun Not, guy too.
Absolutely, and hopefully, hopefully things will turn around for them this year. By the way, did you watch the end of their game at the Garden yesterday
Yeah.
before you did your game?
Yeah.
So with 2.5 minutes to play, Cale Makar could have been the absolute small G goat sitting in the penalty box with the game tied 4-4. And
it's great strategy.
And then he comes out of the penalty box.
Yes.
Skates down, steals the puck, skates down the ice, and sets up Lekkonen with 15 seconds to go, and the Avs win. So he went from being the small goat to the GOAT.
I wonder why you phrase it small goat.
Well, I know, I was trying to think how I put that on Twitter, but then I'd get in. Then people would say, he's not the goat. He's not the goat. No, he's pretty bloody good. That
John
Cale Makar.
Shannon's showing some serious riz on 100% hockey.
Sup, Darren? Sup?
Travis just joined the green room. Should we go to him?
Travis in the green room?
Yes.
That's very good. So
Thank
that
you.
Means it's Travis Green.
Yes. Head coach of the Ottawa Senators.
Did Travis Green ever get mad at you?
No, but Travis and I get along really well. We have a good relationship. I haven't had to cover him a lot, so that probably helps.
I did 5 years with Travis as the coach of the Canucks. Spent a lot of time around Travis.
Yeah.
I got a lot of time for Travis Green.
I have seen him get mad, but never me.
I will tell one quick story, and we won't ask him about it because it's a little personal.
He can't hear us in there.
But everybody here can hear us. Oh. Hopefully there's a big group hitting yeah. Follow us and favoring us. So I got a note. It was when I was pretending to be an insider. And I said, well, Travis Green's negotiating a new contract with the Canucks. So I said it on radio in Vancouver. 8 minutes later, the phone rings. Hey, John, where'd you hear that? Boy, that's great.
Really?
Yeah, but it wasn't true.
Oh.
So.
And that ended your career as an insider?
Yeah, I was never a good insider.
That's a terrible job.
Oh, it's a thankless. I don't know how. It's not fun in the end. It's not a fun job to do.
I remember sitting on trade deadline days and looking over at the insider desk that you were on.
Yes.
Going,
yes.
Can you give us something? Well, there's nothing to give.
I had. So 30 teams, 31 teams, 32 teams. I had six guys. I won't say who they are, but I had six guys that I had the inside track on with their teams. Six guys. The other 26, it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Well, today won't be like that.
No.
Travis will be fun. The head coach of the Ottawa Senators coming up on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. He's at the top of the list when we started 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. Wanted to hook up with our buddy Travis Green, who's head coach of the Ottawa Senators, coming up a busy weekend. What does a head coach do on a day off? Because the players are away, but you guys are obviously in the office.
Yeah, I think it depends on how many days you have in between games. It feels like we haven't really had a day off for a while. A lot of times you're giving your team a day off, but you play the next day or you play in 2 days, so you come in and get ahead of things a little bit. But today's probably the first day that we've had where you just gave the whole staff a day off, maybe a couple texts throughout the day, and try to just enjoy a day, a rare day in the NHL that doesn't happen very often.
So a big victory against the Maple Leafs Saturday, and then you've got Utah last night. When do you start thinking about Utah after you've played the Maple Leafs?
Probably about an hour after. Much like we tell our players, actually the Maple Leaf game is a little bit different than most games just because of the emotional high, the energy in the building. You can feel it. you talk to, I usually talk to the team after 80%, 70% of the games. On that night in particular, I made sure to talk to them and, talk about the game, the Maple Leaf game, the energy, the emotion, and the importance of doing it again the next night. Because we got a team that was, that hadn't played and was sitting there waiting, and a very fast team, and knew that it was going to be a hard game as well.
Always fearful for a letdown, like you talk about being emotionally charged about
Yeah.
beating the Leafs.
Yeah, I think that's just, coach's nature, human nature. Because it's, even as a coach, you can feel it a little bit, like, the emotional high of the building, especially the way the game, a close game, tight game, all the air comes out at the end, and you got to do it again the next day.
What's it like being on that side of the Battle of Ontario?
Yeah, it's been asked that a lot since I've been here. It's a lot of the same feelings that come back to you. Like, just you can feel the energy when the two teams play. I think I touched on it a couple days ago. Just when both teams have something to play for, I think the rivalry is a lot more intense. And back when I played, it doesn't get much more intense than, game sevens, playoff hockey, both buildings back and forth, both buildings with a lot of energy in them. And as we progress, hopefully that passion and that energy gets back into the into this Battle of Ontario.
Hey, you could face them in the first round.
Hey, could be a possibility.
That'd be a good problem, right?
Yeah,
So,
let's get there.
I don't know if it's fair or not. Do you think it's a bigger rivalry in Ottawa or a bigger or in Toronto?
Man, hard to say. I've seen it in a different way from the Toronto end. I've just seen it the one game here, so I think it, I'd have to give a fair, honest answer. I'd have to wait and see how things progress.
When you took over this job, you obviously had some things that you wanted to put in place. When did you start seeing traction to your philosophy? How long did that take?
Thinking back just to when I actually first took over the job, I feel like I felt it over the summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just leading attitude wise, commitment wise, players say the right things all the time, but I really felt like we were having very open, honest discussions with our players, and that they were sincere in the back and forth dialogue that we had about how we're going to get better. And it didn't just start in training camp. It starts over the summer with your commitment, but also every player being able to take a look at himself and be honest in where they need to improve individually.
What are some of those topics, Travis? Can you share any of that?
Well, I mean, it's different, a little bit different for each player. Conditioning was one thing that I really emphasize with our group, but then individually just having discussions with each player on where I felt like they had to get better. And I'm talking more about the core group of players that have been here. One thing I really felt was that they really wanted to win. Like, they were sincere about being tired of losing, wanting to win, which I was. I think as a coach, you sometimes, like, how high is your will to win? Because it's not easy. Everyone says they want to win in the NHL, and it's very competitive. But, and then the second part for me was, what was each player willing to do to win? And I wanted to make sure that they weren't waiting for Steve to bring them magic players that were going to make them better. They're already good players. And as much as I've said this before, as much as they're part of the exciting part of the future to the team, they also had to take a look in the mirror because they're also part of the problem. And for us to improve, they had to improve, I felt, and not just let someone else come in and they just keep doing their thing. So I really felt that to a man, every, you know, whether that's a group of seven, eight, nine guys, you were able to have honest conversation, and they've been a very coachable group. Now, along the way, so from training camp on, there's been, you know, there has been some bumps in the road, and there is with every team during the season. But, you know, I think there's been some scarring or whatever you want to call it from years past where there's this feeling of here we go again. And I believe it was early November, mid-November, where that started to show a little bit, and we had to really kind of work on that and you know, have a lot of conversation about when things aren't going your way, how do you play, how do you think, how do you feel, those kind of conversations.
Are those talks with the group, or are those talks one-on-one?
Little bit of everything. You know, we've got young leaders.
Really young leaders.
Yeah. And different types of leaders too, from very emotional to calm. And you know, a lot of talk with the team, but also a lot of talk with individuals.
What's your expertise on that? Are you a let's buckle down? Are you a tough love? Or are you more like consoler, like build them back up?
Yeah, I think, you know, I
I'm a
tried
tear
to.
them down, get out of type person.
Not me.
I tried to.
I like building people up.
You
So
liar.
I think it's a bit of both, to be honest. I think you have to. A good coach is very honest with and has a way of looking at his group from the outside. And as mad as you can get sometimes as a coach, I think it's important that you have. Can sit, take a step back and figure out why this is happening. Is it lack of effort? Is it lack of care? Do they need to be taught? Do they need to be sparked? Do they need you know, a pat on the back? And I think there's, you know, that's one thing I try to do is really think about what they need at the moment. And it's not one way or the other all the time.
So when you're sitting there talking to the guys, do you hear Al Arbour? Do you hear Pierre Paget? Do you hear Pat Quinn? Who do you hear?
You know, I think along the way, I've taken lots of little tidbits from every coach that I've had to learn. I'd like to think I hear myself now. You know, you get your own style of coaching, and what you obviously it's along the way as a player, you think about what you needed, what you liked in coaches, what you didn't like, what you respected, what you didn't, but also being able to look back at myself as a player and God knows I wasn't the perfect player. Also, I wouldn't have liked coaching me at certain moments of my career either. So that's always in the back of my mind as well, that it's not necessarily just what I would have wanted as a player either. You know, I think it's really important that you analyze your group and it, you know, put a lot of thought into what your team needs to progress.
Have you ever?
And sometimes they're not ready for certain things either. Where you can't just miss steps along the way.
Have you coached a player where you went, that's me? Like.
Yeah, I've coached a couple guys that I'm like, you know, go to the back of the line, don't start the drill right away because I know you're gonna mess it up. And you know, I had a good way of doing that sometimes. And you know, but again, I think those moments have helped me. But I also know that there's certain moments where I could dial in my game and be very focused as well.
Are you a different coach now than when you got the job in Vancouver?
Yeah, I think you're always growing. You know, I think that's just human nature, how you handle certain situations, whether they're pressure filled or just days off. And you know, I'd like to see that I've just through experience have improved. You know, I think the longer you do something, the more confident you are in your beliefs. But also not being stubborn that your beliefs are perfect from day one as well. And you know, I've changed as far as how we play structurally, I've done a lot of changing in kind of how we play, but still want an aggressive, upbeat team that I always talked about in Vancouver. But so I think I've changed a lot, but still have a lot of basic principles that I've had from day one of coaching.
How's the game changed since you started in Vancouver? Because it's tweaked along the way too.
Little bit. Yeah, it's getting faster and faster.
Yeah.
Deeper and deeper. The teams are deeper. The schedule's different. You've got to have, I feel like now the parity in the league today, man, I think it's as close as I've ever seen it. It feels that way. It 5 years ago, 6 years, 7 years ago, it feels like, there were games that you kind of knew what team was going to win. I don't feel that it's quite like that as much anymore. And I find goaltending is a real premium now, more so than any time, just because of the parity in the league. And there's a lot more pressure on the goalies. So yeah, but a lot of things haven't changed. If you're not prepared to work hard and you're not prepared to compete, it's a tough game to have success in.
You touched on the schedule, and I'm not even going to ask you about the schedule because it's not fair to you because you don't make it, but it forces you guys to work around the schedule with, practice time. How do you do that?
A little bit. I mean, there's different, every year is a little bit different. Obviously, this year with the Four Nations, it's a little bit, feels a little more condensed at times. Practice is a premium. And especially with a younger team, I feel like they need practice. They need touches, but also teaching moments to improve. Where I think where you get a veteran team once they get past Christmas or November, start of December, they've got their game dialed in. They probably don't need to be on the ice quite as much. Good example, Travis Hamonic's a great example, a guy that's played in the league a long time. He comes off a knee injury, been out 3 or 4 weeks, and jumps in a morning skate and plays back-to-back games, 20-something minutes, where a young guy probably feels like, hey, I got to get into a practice or two to make sure that I got my timing, I feel good, I those kind of things.
Did you like practice as a player? I knew the
So,
answer. That's why I'm asking.
you know what I loved? I loved as a player just being on the ice. The feeling of just being in an NHL building. I don't think that ever left me, till I retired. At the end of the day, I always felt I loved the morning skates. I loved being in the rink when there was no one there and just looking around. That feeling that you had as a kid when you walk into an NHL building is always special, and that's something that, I think as a player, it's important never to forget that. Even when things are going tough or it's not, you're not feeling great. When you were younger, you would have done anything you could to get into an NHL building and walk around it, step on the ice, whatever you could do, and that's pretty special. It's a special league, and we're privileged to play in it. A
Do you still do that at all,
little
even as a
bit.
head coach?
Yeah.
Which building
Yeah.
grabs you?
They all do. I as a longtime, I guess, historian or fan of the game, you always love to go into the buildings that have been around a while. We just played in the Garden in Madison Square Garden the other day, and walking up the tunnel is still special.
Yeah.
My legs still burn probably a little more than when I played, but you go into Montreal, you see all the banners hanging. It's a special place. It's an honor and a privilege to be in the NHL and to work in it, and I still feel that way.
Who's your favorite living up growing in the Kootenays? Who is your favorite player?
Oh man. Well, Steve Bozak actually lived down the street from me. So I watched him progress through college and junior B in college, and always watched his career. His mom was a teacher, librarian at our school, worked a lot of different places in my school. So I remember even in elementary school looking at her and thinking at school, thinking, wow, that's Steve Bozak's mom. And as I got older, Guy Lafleur, I was a big fan of Guy Lafleur. That's kind of when I got into hockey. I didn't start till I was about eight. And that's when the Canadians were winning a bunch of cups. I would have been around 9, 10 years old, back in the early 80s, watching. I still remember the slap shot down the wall. I was a big fan. I had all the Guy Lafleur notepads, pens, pen, all those things. So, and then gradually, I enjoyed when Mario came in the league. I was a big fan of his, and when I was in junior, watching him play, and played against him a long time. And you'd be remiss if you didn't say Gretz as well. As it's hard not to be in awe of him, watching him play as well.
Did you ever get to meet Guy?
I never have. No.
No, never did, eh?
No. And but he was like my guy for a long time when I was a little boy.
When you said Steve Bozak, the first thing that came to mind, I don't know how if you recall, but when that famous the miracle on Manchester, they were down 5-0 to the Oilers and came back and won 6-5 in overtime. Darrell Evans scored the overtime goal, but the goal that tied the game and forced overtime, Stevie Bozak scored that goal.
Yeah, he had some good years.
Yeah, and then they played in Calgary too. You would have
Yep.
loved watching them in Calgary.
Yep, for sure.
100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon and Travis Green continues after this.
NHLShop.com, the official online store of the National Hockey League and the world's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear with unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.com, a Fanatics experience.
Big trade on the weekend. Did you react to it first as a hockey fan or as a head coach in the Eastern Conference?
A little bit of both, to be honest. You hear the buzz. I think everyone in the hockey world gets a little bit excited when big trades happen. It's only normal, only human. But then you start thinking about how it helps a team that you're playing against. So, or maybe it doesn't help, and you're not sure. So, yeah, big trade for sure. Interesting one. Both teams probably feel like it was a move they had to make.
So Saturday night, I'm sitting there watching a few games, and then I see right in front of my eyes Ryan Reeves and Brady Tkachuk. And I'm thinking, well, that's a heck of a trade-off for the Maple Leafs. How do you convince Brady that you want him to do, you know what he should do and he can do, but how do you convince him that's not a good trade-off?
Yeah, it's tricky.
Because you don't want him to change, do you?
No, I definitely don't. And I think he's maturing, day to day, month to month. And I think he understands that too, that that's not a good trade-off for us. Not that, Ryan Reeves is very effective in his game as well, but Brady's one of our, not only is our captain, but he's one of our best players and brings an element to our game that is very, our team that is very hard to find. But that's not the first time that that's happened or the last. He also brings upon himself a physicality to the game that there are other players on other teams that are going to try to get in his face as well. And he understands that. And I've said it publicly, I'm not going to try to change the player he is, the passion that he plays with, the physicality that he plays with. And quite frankly, I don't want I like it. Now, there are certain moments where you don't want him to get tangled up in certain plays and be off the ice for a while, but he'll figure that out as he goes, and he is. I think he's doing a good job of figuring it out.
You played with his old man.
Yep.
Is there a comparison to be made?
Oh yeah, nice. No, I've known Walt a long time, and he's a friend of mine. And I for the first probably 2 months, every time I heard Brady yell on the bench, I had flashbacks of that Walt was sitting next to me, because he sounds exactly like him when he yells. And so I would giggle inside my head a little bit just whenever he would yell on the bench. But he's, both his boys are, they got a lot of Walt in them. They understand the game. They're very smart. They're passionate. They're skilled. They're tough. And it's not surprising. I grew up with, or I didn't grow up, but I remember Brady and Matthew running around the locker room when we played together. And they were hockey players from a young age, and both of them are very good one, and they got a sister that's extremely talented as well.
I love the way he broke out of the slump yesterday by just going to the net and
Yeah.
shoveling one in.
Yeah. And that's, that's his game, scoring around the net. And I was asked it a lot, like, am I concerned about it? I'm really not. Like, I bet in the nine whatever games it was, he probably had 60 shots or 55 shots, and he probably had another 55 hits, and he brings a lot to the table even when he's not scoring. And you just know eventually he's going to get back on track. He's too good a player.
How did you handle those dips as a player? Would you change things at all? Would you get
Well, I
inside your
wasn't
head?
good enough that I knew I would get one eventually. Sometimes I wondered if this was the end of the road for me. So when I got into a big slump, I got a little worried. Some guys can get worried, some guys should get worried, and some guys shouldn't. And I was one of the ones that should get worried. So, I think for me earlier in my career, it affected me a lot different when I was trying to be a 20, 25 goal scorer. I worried about it a lot more. When I finally realized that I'm a much better hockey player when I'm just being a 10 goal scorer to 15 goal scorer and doing a lot of other things that helps the team win. Not only did I find I didn't get into those slumps as much, but I didn't put the pressure on myself to score. All I cared about was winning, my second half of the year, and that was the player that I liked a lot more than the one at my beginning.
Hey, a 25 goal scorer in the NHL in this season, Travis, you're putting a lot of money in your pocket.
Yeah, a little more than I did back then.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You talked about, knowing the core and finding out what the core was like over the summer as you were trying to figure out what to do. Is there one or two of those guys in the core that you go, holy smokes, I didn't know he was this good?
I think until you really skate with a guy and get on the ice with them, you don't really know. And I probably could say that a little bit about all of them. We nitpick a little bit as coaches.
A little bit, a little
Yeah,
bit.
that's but I think, something I've tried to change, I guess, over time is, find the positives in a player and not the negatives, because I think that can happen. And really, I mean, each guy has surprised me in certain areas. You talk about Thomas Chabot. There's been a lot of talk about him not being a great defending defenseman, for example. And he's really buckled down and taken pride in doing it, and has become like a really good defenseman now. And I think when you first think about it and you watch a player from afar, you wonder, is this guy care? Does he care? Does he just want to play loosey-goosey hockey? And then when you get to know a guy and meet a guy and talk about improvements, and then to see him do it, it gives you a new admiration. for players, and I could probably say that about all our guys that I didn't really know.
Goaltending, has Linus made his impact, full impact yet, or are you, because of the injury, still waiting for that to come to
Yeah, I don't
fruition?
even think he's scratched the surface where I hope we can get to with him. He came out training camp. I honestly don't think I've seen a goalie that I was more impressed with in training camp. Just
Wow.
watching him stop the puck from day to day. Then we played the Panthers first game of the year, and he was outstanding. And then when we went to Montreal, he got hurt and was out for probably, I don't know how long it was. It felt like a long time. It was probably 6 to 10 games. Took a little bit of time to get his timing back once he came back from the injury. I didn't think he was quite as dialed in, and I think he'd agree with that. And I don't think our team was playing as good either, which is, not a good combo. And then when he found his game, he had a stretch of games there where he was amazing. And I feel like we've had him for probably 12 games of that stretch, 15 games, of, and that's total, where he's been on the team and in form, I guess. And just seeing when you have that kind of goaltending, not only what it does during the game and that, but what the confidence that it gives your team. And when he got hurt again in Edmonton, took our goalies a little while to kind of find their groove again, I think, because there's different pressure when your starter goes down. And I think that can affect the goalie. But since then, probably since those 6 games after Edmonton, our goalies have played really well and stepped in with Levy and Forsey playing very solid. So hopefully Linus is back here soon. He's a great goalie, and I think ultimately you need great goaltending to win.
Do you see him back before the break?
I do. I think he's close. So he's scheduled, I think, to join us in practice tomorrow. So that's a good sign.
I'm curious. You talked about you could being on the bench in Edmonton when he didn't come out for the second period,
Yeah.
and you can feel that on your bench.
I don't think then, but when you got a guy that goes out of your lineup that's playing so good in such a premier position, I think it's only normal that as coaches, you think about it for sure. And I'm sure some of the players think about it as well, especially at the level he was playing. So yeah, I thought it did it affect us? I'm not sure, but we didn't play that well after for a stretch. Part of it was we've been on the road
That was an
for,
awful road trip. I
yeah,
mean,
I
a
mean,
long, awful road trip.
whether I'm not a big excuse guy, but when you're playing 9, 11 out of 12 on the road, it's a lot.
What are your expectations now, waking up today in a top three spot in the division?
Yeah, nothing's changed for us. It's nice to be there today, especially that we have 3 days off right now. You'd rather be sitting on your off time feeling good about yourself, but also, our message to our players when they come back is that, we've talked about being process driven from day one, not looking behind us, which was important. I think for this group in the past, not making the playoffs for 7 years, we were net we, I didn't quite honestly, I don't give a sh any I don't care about what's
You can
happened in the
swear on this
past.
show, you know. You can swear on
Okay. And I've told them that, like, I don't give a shit about what's happened in the past. I really don't. I only care about what happens today and how we get ready to win tomorrow. And they go hand in hand. And we got a long way to go. We got 32 games to go. We've put ourselves in a good spot, but there's a lot of hockey to be played, and we've only talked to our group about what's in front of us the next game, never anything further than that, and that's not going to change.
On that topic, you've got 5 or 6 games before the break. and then you've got a break, and then you've got your guys going away and coming back. So how have you given any thought to how you manage between now and the 2 weeks off, and then what you do when you come back? Because it's almost going to be like a training camp again.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we've gone through this before. I remember going through it as a player. I think I went through it in Vancouver 1 year. There's no secret sauce to it either. Like you hope your players will talk to them about staying active over the break. You don't expect them to.
No ice in Cancun, Travis.
Yeah, I know. So I don't think they're renting ice down in Cabo. So, but we do get back and we get 4 days before we start again, which I think is plenty. But the big thing is, be a committed guy when you're gone for the 10 days or whatever it is. Take care of your bodies and, and then we'll get back at it. Get ready for the first game and then the one after that.
Okay, we'll end on this. Where's the coach go during the break? Because you can't go to Cabo because you don't want to run into any of these guys.
Yeah, you know what? I'm taking it easy, going back home to my home in California, and just gonna relax, play some golf, spend some time with my family, and just some nice downtime.
I got to ask you about one more player, a guy that you had in Vancouver, became a real journeyman. All of a sudden, he comes back to Ottawa, and now he has 15 goals for you. What do you see, and what do you see, and what do you got out of Adam Gaudette that nobody else is able to?
You know what? Give God's credit. You have to earn everything you get in this league. And you go through adversity and things don't go the way you want. And you learn hard lessons along the way. And, I think he's just matured as a player and understood that whether he's on the fourth line, second line, you've got to be ready to play and play your best. And he's gotten opportunities on the power play, on the second unit. He's always been a goal scorer and had that knack. I just think now his the mental side of it, he doesn't get so affected with how much he's playing anymore, like he might have when he was younger. But he also is a smarter hockey player now, that he's been a pro for, 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is. I think he understands that play away from the puck is important if you're not, really for every player, and you feel good for a guy that's doing well.
Happy for you, buddy. The last time we did this, it was audio only, and you were unpacking in the hotel room. You were on a road trip, and you were hanging out the duffel bag. So this a little
Well,
more
this is
low,
an improvement then.
this a little more low key. But it was really funny because I could hear the zipper and everything going.
zipper.
Some guys coach well in Canadian markets, and some guys, they adjust better. You seem to adjust better to coaching in Canadian markets. It's nice.
Yeah, a little more used to it now.
A little more used to it. Thanks, Trap. Good luck,
All right,
okay?
guys. Yeah, thanks, guys. That was fun.
NHLShop.ca, the official online store of the National Hockey League, and Canada's largest selection of officially licensed NHL fan gear. With unique one-of-a-kind designs by Fanatics and all the latest styles for every NHL team. Don't miss out. Shop now and get today's special offer. NHLShop.ca, a Fanatics experience.
Couple of interesting threads there. He did admit the bumps in the road, but being able to work his young group through it, I think at times, and you hear from coaches, you become as much of a parental person in charge and guiding them as you are a hockey coach.
Yeah, and again, I think that learning how to read the room too, particularly with a young group. Now there are some veterans, like he mentioned Hamonic, and he mentioned he didn't mention, but Claude Giroux has to be considered. He's got some veteran guys that maybe he can lean on a little bit, but the young core of this group, I mean would be fun to be around. But fun to manage. I actually think it's funny. He talked about the ups and downs with Ullmark. There was that Thursday night where they were up big against Philadelphia at home, and Ullmark just had a horrendous third period. And I remember a shot of Travis, and I remember a shot of Steve Staios, and they had already announced the new 4-year extension. And you could read it on their faces: "Is do we have this for 4 more years?" And after that, Ullmark did turn it around and became the Ullmark in Boston. So it's the ups and downs of being an NHL coach. I wouldn't wish it on a lot of guys. The other thing is, and you asked about goaltending. I think their whole goaltending philosophy now is much more upbeat, even if Ullmark isn't the goaltender, because Marilainen has changed the whole conversation, in my opinion. You know, so you got Forsberg, yeah, but you also, and Marilainen, so it's not as, you know, going into a deep gulch with Ullmark being hurt, because Marilainen's done such a good job for them.
Yesterday showed me a lot, being able to follow up Toronto
right
with a workmanlike performance, and yeah, that wasn't a perfect game by any means, but they won it in the third period.
Yeah, the only positive was back-to-back home games, right? So no travel. Lots of guys do the back-to-backs, and it's travel between Calgary, you know, played Minnesota on Saturday and stole a victory, and then went to Winnipeg last night, and were just horrendous. And even though they did have a chance to get back in the game, they didn't have anything in the third period. But that, to me, having two back-to-back games at home is a little easier, I think.
We have four of those this year, and there was only one in the first 5 seasons I was in Vegas. But there's four back-to-backs at home this year out of the 13 for the Golden Knights.
Yeah. Well,
the schedule.
These guys will never criticize the schedule publicly very often, but it's tough. With this, with the stoppage for the Four Nations faceoff, it is tough, and it's taken a toll on everybody. And everybody's going to need the break in order to recharge the batteries for the stretch run in March towards the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Going to be a heck of a pickup skate in Cabo.
Yeah, the only ice there is in my drink, so it's okay.
Have you done any Cabo time in the?
No, I'm a Vallarta guy.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Cabo then.
So, because I'm in Vallarta?
Yes.
Or you could wave at me across the bay.
Yeah, that's a totally different discussion right now. I'm not getting into that.
But we should do it. I last year on the old show, I did 6 weeks of daily shows from Vallarta. So that's the magic of technology. And McCowan would look at me like I was, where are you today? Part of Vallarta.
And not happy with you at all.
And not happy at all.
No. Of course, how dare you have fun.
I'm not sure he was ever happy with me.
So okay. Well, I'm pleased to be with you. Thanks for stopping by, everybody. Hit that like button. Subscribe. It'll be in your downloads every day. You don't want to miss an episode of 100% Hockey.
And we have another good guest on Wednesday.
We do. You want to
tell
me?
I'm not telling you who it is. No.
Nope. You're not?
No. Well, I jinxed it the last time.
Yeah. But I thought you might get over that because everything went so well today.
I hold grudges.
Really? Talk to everybody next week.